Hey guys, welcome to the Learn Feng Shui podcast, where you'll learn Feng Shui from a classical point of view, taking out the myth and superstition. So if you're interested in learning Feng Shui, Chinese astrology, all things Chinese metaphysics, as well as the superstitions and myths that connect it all, you'll enjoy learning Feng Shui with me. Hey guys, let's get into the energy update for May, month of the snake. All right, guys, looking now at the month of May, can't believe it's already the fifth month of the year and the fourth month according to the Chinese calendar. So May does bring in the summer month. It's the month of the snake here. It does bring in this energy of fire. And so when we look at the seasons through a lens of Chinese metaphysics, there's, of course, the four seasons. So 3 months govern the energy of that season. And so the fire energy here, of course, governs summer. And those are the months of May, June, and July. So we have the zodiac sign of snake, horse, and the goat. And of course, the goat is an earth energy, but it is known as the end of the fire season. Snake does combine with the zodiac sign of the rooster and the ox, and its secret friend or combo of six is the monkey, and it does clash with the pig. The month starts on May 4th, and that first solar cycle of energy or the seasonal node, the solar term, starts out the month May 4th and lasts through May 20th. It's called the coming of summer. And it's a cross quarter point between the spring equinox and the summer solstice. And during this time, it does correspond to the pagan wheel of the year, known as Beltane, usually occurring around May 1st. And sometimes this day is called May Day. And again, it's just kind of the beginning of that summertime, right? Activities that they do around this time is dancing the maypole and holding spring or summer fairs, I suppose, to celebrate the beginning of the summer season. And it is a time before the heat sets in. It's not too hot yet. Flowers are blooming, grass is growing, and the days are a little bit longer. May 20th through June 4th is the seasonal term or the qi cycle called small sprout. And this is when summer crops begin. So staying healthy around this time, according to Chinese traditional medicine, start of summer is a key time to moisten the heart. When the weather grows hotter, dampness and heat can affect human health. And foods rich in vitamins that cool in nature are recommended. So vegetables like cucumbers, tomatoes, watercress, celery, and fruits that include watermelon, pear, and strawberry are good recommendations. And of course, things like dandelion, dandelion tea, or dandelion salads. Supposed to be good for you this time of year. All right, guys. So when we look at that, I'm excited to for Folklore Friday to talk more about the maypole. I bet you didn't know that maypole tradition also actually has a geomancy type association with it. So I'm excited to talk about that during Folklore Friday. So when we are looking at the tone for the month or kind of doing some forecasting for the month to see what this month will bring, we can look to the wisdom of the I Ching, or some people call it the I Ching, or some people even call it the I Ching. So we look at this earth snake, and the hexagram we get is great strength. So this is telling us we have a big decision to make that's coming up, and you need to make a fast decision. So swift execution is needed. But you have to be sure what you're doing is right and your decision is not ego-based. So you're going to really want to be confident about your decision and make it quickly. Also remember, sometimes the best way to guarantee that you get things done is to give yourself a deadline and stick to it, which will benefit you greatly for the month. And sometimes giving yourself a deadline is as simple as like scheduling something, like you're going to go give a talk or you need to have your website done or you're writing a story or something. You know, give yourself a stopping point, a deadline, you know, announce things like, hey, I'm going to be doing X, Y, Z this month. Look out for it. You know, give yourself a realistic deadline, just making that thing, you know, making that schedule, announcing it and sticking to it is really going to help you kind of propel you forward. You know, you have momentum going and it really will kind of benefit you to take action to get some things done. Okay. So you can also use this fire energy of the snake to inspire you to take action. Remember, the snake is a yin fire energy, kind of like a candle. And remember that candle light is kind of that inspiring kind of light, that inspiring kind of fire energy. So it can help inspire you for the month. And the feng shui focus for the month of May is to embrace the yin earth energy or the divine feminine. And it doesn't necessarily have to be feminine, female, or motherly type energy. So what I mean is like a nurturing energy. So May does bring us a little gentler energy in terms of the yin earth, making it a good month to embrace this energy. And again, it's more about nurturing or finding your nurturing side, using the energy to grow something you love, whether it's a garden, maybe a business idea, or even focusing on your hobby and just any area you wish to see growth in. It is metaphorically time to give birth and nurture your baby. And so whatever you feel like you have been wanting to achieve or focus on, you know, whether it is just a hobby or something you do for fun, it's time to kind of give into that and give it a little attention. Give it a little nurturing. And kind of looking at the feng shui in our home and what we can do in our home, the warmer weather, you know, we kind of think of nature things the month of May, but a lot of people don't like to be outside. I understand that, you know, some people, it's not their thing. And so I did include in the newsletter for the month at learnfengshui.com. This is where I'm getting the information that I'm relaying to you here. Do a monthly newsletter. How we can kind of use this energy inside our homes and outside our homes. So if you've ever heard of something called biophilic design, it's basically bringing nature into your home. You know, things like adding plants, you know, they can be fake plants, adding different textures that mimic nature, colors, and even lighting into our home. We can improve the feng shui in our home and just kind of help it feel a little bit better. And of course, I included some things for outside our homes, which include just outdoor cleaning, you know, utilizing your outdoor space, whatever that may look like, tidying up that front door and focusing on where the chi or the energy opens our space, and even just putting some small plants right around the entrance to help collect the chi. Again, for the details, you can go to learnfengshui.com, and it's the second page of this month's newsletter. All right, guys, let's check out the zodiac forecast for the month of May. All right, guys, now looking at the zodiac sign fast, and this is looking at the what are called the animal signs or the earth branches. So this energy does impact you depending on where it falls in your natal chart. So remember, you have four animal signs. So kind of take note of where it falls, and that is where it will impact you. So if it falls in the year you're born, this represents your friends, your social circle and community. If this happens to fall in the month that you're born, it represents your career, parental relationships. And if it's the day you're born, this does represent your health, romantic relationships, and even the way you see yourself. And if it's the hour that you're born, it does represent your children's thoughts, emotions, feelings. And if you have a downline, your subordinates. So remember, you have four zodiac signs, one for the year, month, day, and hour that you're born. All right, guys, starting off with the zodiac sign of the snake. Have some good energies of just for the year. We'll look at the Shenshan stars. And you do have something called the Sun Star, which is a problem-solving star, allowing you to get it all out there, lay it on the table, and solve the issue. So this is good for an open problem-solving and not quiet problem-solving, but best to just lay it out and let it all be talked about, you know? You also have the Intelligence Star, which is about applying your knowledge. So again, there is a different level of knowing something and, you know, having the book smarts, and then in the application of it, you know, learning from it. So for example, I used to do hair. I was a hairstylist in a former life here, and hair color. So learning how to do different like tones, you know, understanding what is in the client's hair and all that from a book level is one thing. But then when you get in there, you might have some tricks, you know, that you do with that client's hair that you can bump up the color a certain way, or you can get the color to stick better doing certain things, right? So it's just a difference between book smarts and applied knowledge with the Intelligence Star. So time to apply some knowledge, you know, time to get to it. There is a few cautions you need to take this month for the snake. A couple things, the robbery shaw, so don't get scammed out of money. You know, it does carry the connotation of being scammed, but it also can carry the connotation of being aggressive or easily angered. So watch your anger this month. And then your mental health just kind of feeling lonely, losing passion, and being unmotivated is a result of sky emptiness and bad energies, star. So it just kind of, you know, one of those things where you just really have to put yourself around some people. Maybe take a little time off. Traveling always helps, even if it's just, you know, maybe you go to the next town over, just do a day trip or something. Just do something fun for yourself and make sure you're taking care of your mental health. All right, now looking at the seasonal combinations. These are the zodiac signs that make up the season of summer. So it's going to be the zodiac sign of snake, horse, and goat. So this does have the potential to make you very strong and show wealth opportunity. You can use it to make connections and network with others in your field. You can put yourself out there to be seen because fire does give us the potential to make our efforts more visible. So whatever you do could be amplified. Share with others, you know, inspire others with your actions. And you can even use it to reconnect with your spiritual side if you feel you're in a little bit of a funk. And now what is called the three harmony, the combining zodiac signs with the snake, is the rooster and ox. So these are the zodiac signs that are most impacted because they have a combination with them. Okay. So the three harmony combination does help with organization, follow through, and action. Like we talked about earlier, just taking that action, making those choices, and kind of implementing it. Okay. So use the energy to finish projects, taking actions to start something you've been avoiding, even if it's something like quitting smoking, an exercise regime, changing your eating habits, things like that. And it's a good time to make some big life decisions if needed. Next is what is called the combo of six, or the secret friend, which is the monkey. So the monkey and snake do combine to create the energy to move things along. And sometimes it can also bring a bit of a self-sabotage in terms of giving out whenever you shouldn't be. So helping the wrong people out, maybe. Take caution of who you are around at this time. So you can use the energy to gain a deeper understanding of your field of work, because it does kind of that, again, that knowledge and that understanding. And please be sure to create boundaries with your family or friends this month. Again, if you know that you are not in a position to help someone and doing so may harm you, put you in a bad position financially, whatever, then make sure you don't do that. That's kind of that self-sabotaging type energy that the monkey and snake have. So the pig, it does clash with the snake for the month, but remember that this clashing energy, it really can help take things away. So during clash, you can use this opposing energy to make a change in your life. So if you have a pig, it just means that something will shift in your life, okay? One thing you can do also is using the east sector, you know, implement that feng shui, use it to spend time there this month to combine with the rabbit. And that will also take that energy away. It'll take the clash away for you to spend time in the east. All right, now let's take a look at the best and worst feng shui sectors for the month of May. All right, guys. So I determined the best and worst sectors by looking at the flying stars for each month. And this does give us a little bit of a combination to kind of tell us which are the best areas or sectors or guas to use for the month. Generally, flying stars number 1, 4, 6, 8, and 9 are considered positive, but they do present a little bit of a challenge this month, because they don't all fall in great sectors. You know, maybe they're not usable for the year. Starting off with the flying star number 7, we'll start there. It does go to the north, so we're going to actually consider this a good star this month. Again, it kind of depends on where it falls. So, you know, generally we don't use this because it does carry the connotation of, like, I think saying things wrong, you know, it's more about the way you say things. And so you do have to kind of watch that if you use the north this month, but it will be excellent, I think, for putting out online content, sending emails, and making phone calls. Anything that you're communicating out is going to be really well. So just working in the sector, making phone calls, filming videos, or making content could be really good for you to use the north this month. Really, it's a good sector for the year. Okay, so flying star number 6 now, we go on to the south. So the south does have a little bit of a challenging energy too. But again, the south this month could help you gain some momentum, assistance, or maybe even a mentor, you know, people willing to help support you. So use the south this month if you need to garner some support. So do be gua 9, do be cautious of being too bold, starting arguments. Also watch your respiratory system. allergies, and eczema. Okay. So you can use the sector by working or making phone calls. Flying star number 8, generally called the Guelph star, just go to Guatu or the Southwest for the month. And you can use the sector for sales, a type of activity, you know, pitching out quotes, following up with leads, taking calls, sending emails. And Guatu does need to be cautious of overworking and not being compensated for it. So it could be a thing where you feel like you work a lot and you don't get a lot back. So be cautious of that. So working in the sector, emails, cold leads, follow-up, that could be really good to do in the sector. And placing a fan to activate the energy. So when we say activate, it's movement in the area does activate these flying stars. So it could be water, it could be a fan, it could be just using the area. Anything that moves around in the area, a air filter, something like that, that moves around and act and, you know, circulates the air around. That's what activates the area. Flying star number 9 is pretty good this month. Landing in the east, Gua 3. It's called the spiritual and happiness star. So for the month, the east does carry the energy to help you be seen. Remember 9, it's that fire energy, which is visual. So you can use the east to help with your career progression, you know, when asking for a promotion. If you're looking for work, it's a good sector to use to put in a job application, okay? And for the Gua 3, your actions you choose to take this month will be magnified. So do the right thing and it'll bring the right results and possible recognition. And you can use this energy by working here, sitting here, doing phone calls, interviews, talking to HR, filling out applications, or applying for work or a new position. All right, now looking at some of the challenging sectors you want to quote unquote cure, right? So generally stars 2 and 5 are considered negative and 3 and 7 are a bit neutral. But this month we do kind of have a combination of good and bad, making the energy that we usually consider positive unusable. There's just areas that we can't really use. So the 1 star, the authority star, does go to the southeast, but we can't really use it. You know, just the area you don't want to use for the year, you want to keep it quiet. But Gua 3s can benefit by getting some extra support this month. So keep the area quiet. Place a salt cure or preferred item if you do use the area. It's just supposed to be in there for the year, so that's not necessarily for the month. But just keep it in there for the year. Flying star number 2 does fly to the center, but that more carries the connotation of setting the tone for the month. Maybe a month where we see a little bit of resurgence in the cold and flu type things. Take precautions to keep yourself healthy. Take your vitamins and all the good things, you know? Number 4, Academy star does go to the west, but it combines with the yearly star 5. Making it generally unusable, and you don't really have to do much here, but Gua 7s can benefit from the energy by learning a new subject. So use that energy of the academic star. Okay. Flying star number 3 does go to the northwest, or the Gua 6. So be cautious when sleeping or working in this sector because you don't want to engage in petty arguments or just the need to be right. So avoid having deep discussions, you know, important discussions there. So I know for the snake earlier, I kind of talked about getting things out in the open, but you don't want to do it in an area that has conflict energy like the south or the northwest. Gua 3 can benefit by keeping your emotions in check this month. Just generally keeping the sector quiet here, which should be just fine. You could place a salt cure for extra measure if you feel it's needed, but not necessary. Flying star number 5, called the disaster star, does go to the Gua 8 northeast. And it's a good sector for the year, but again, the month of May does make it a bit challenging. The month could bring some problems with superiors, so use the area sparingly. Gua 8 can be cautious of taking too big a risk and to keep your losses manageable, okay? Place a salt cure here if your bedroom's here and avoid doing a lot of work and stuff in the area. You don't want your work to come back and not be right or something to be wrong with it, you know? And areas we want to avoid renovation in for the year and the month. So the yearly ones will be up on the website in that newsletter. But for the month, let's avoid the southeast. You know, digging here, it is the Grand Duke for the month. So we're going to want to avoid that area. But really, the southeast should be avoided all year with renovations, unless under very specific conditions, we choose a date for that. I've done it for some clients and it seems to have worked just fine. Pig, or the Northwest area there, is considered the month breaker, the Soi Po. So we're going to want to avoid renovations in that sector also. And then, of course, where the Five Yellow falls for the month in the Northeast, avoid renovations. All right, guys, let's take a little mid-show break again. Just go to learnfengshui.com and check out that newsletter. It is something that I kind of forget to talk about when I do the monthly energy updates. I've been trying to remind myself to talk about the newsletter. So I put together this monthly newsletter each month, has all the information here and more, plus lucky dates for the month. So you're not going to want to miss out on that. And of course, if you need energy mapping to follow along, I do that complimentary for listeners so we can do this feng shui thing together. So just reach out on the website. You can upload your floor plan directly to the website there. And the link to everything will be in the show notes. All right, guys, let's go ahead and go to our Folklore Friday segment and talk about the origins of the maypole and the surprising connection to feng shui. All right, guys, so at the beginning of the episode, I talked a little bit about Beltane and how it corresponds closely to the solar cycle of energy. So May 1st is Beltane. It's a pagan tradition that is celebrated in European countries, but also here in the U.S. we do observe it. And again, my local pagan group did have a little bit of a celebration over the past weekend to celebrate Beltane, and sometimes it's called May Day. So when we're looking at the maypole and some of the correlations with feng shui, the setup of a fair is, I thought, was really interesting. So back in the day, these have these traveling fairs, you know, and they would usually correspond to the solstices, you know, generally the warmer months. So they tend to kind of celebrate more of the cross-quarter point between the seasons, which is what the wheel of the year usually observes. And again, this one's called Beltane. And as in pagan customs, the maypole is a symbol of fertility, symbolizing the phallus. Usually the pagan traditions tend to celebrate fertility and either the phallus or I'll just say the cup. And so when I was reading the book, Creating Places of Power, there's a section there on maypoles. But what I thought was interesting was the way the maypole was set up, essentially using geomancy and also were the traveling fairs. So these traveling fairs would, again, come around. You know, they didn't have Walmart back in the day. And so the traveling fairs would usually be a point between some kind of cities that the people would meet up with, and you could buy different wares, you know. And it became such a, I guess, fixture in these communities that they eventually built like more permanent stalls around the places where they would have these vendor fairs. And usually in the center of the fair would be a maypole. And they did this really to kind of establish the authority of like the ruling duke or the monarch of the land. And so I'll read this here from the book. It says, "The cosmic patterns on which moods, fairs, and towns have been based have remained long after the spiritual elements have become obscured. However, so long as the associated customs are observed, the less apparent patterns also remain present as part of these proceedings. And these traditions have continued, especially annual fairs, which are very conservative continuity." So it's saying that this is kind of just an echo or a remnant of the fairs they used to have back in the maybe medieval times. It says, "Many European fairs were held annually at the present time and have archaic province formalized by dukes and kings in the medieval period. When locational principles were followed as a matter of course, like administrative assemblies, fairs were also laid out as microcosms, reflecting not only the country, but also the eternal order of the cosmos, temporarily brought together to earth at that specific place for a certain time." And, you know, when we're looking at feng shui, that's really what feng shui is. It's this, we choose a home in a certain location, you know, we choose a business in a certain location. And it's almost like this time-space collision, this measurement of time and space. We move in during a certain time, we move to a, you know, a certain place or location in the world at a certain time. And that's what these traveling fairs were thought to be, is this kind of order of the cosmos coming together to have this fair at a certain time. So the scene is a little town or a little village. And it does say here, "Probably derived from temporary fairs, the traditional layout of the markets or towns is part of this tradition also. So relative positions are assigned on a gridded square to various trades, occupations, and pastimes. These relate to corresponding planets, directional qualities, or deities and saints that rule them. Traditional fairgrounds were laid out according to the same principle as market towns, having rows and districts dedicated to specific trades. professionals, or pastimes. In many places, these temporary rows were made permanent by the erection of buildings in place of stalls or booths. Where redevelopment had not swept away their traditional street plans, their successors stand on the same sites, preserving their alignment. So what does that sound like? Aligning the streets, aligning the towns, or even these vendor stalls to a specific location. So that's feng shui, right? So it does say here, at the center of traditional European fairs, it's customary to erect a pole, variously known as the Maypole. This mark is the geomantic center that carries the emblem of authority, such as a glove or crest, symbolic of the king or queen in absentia. So they would put some kind of glove or crest or something like that. That would symbolize the king or queen that was not attending the fair. And it does say here, at the fair, setting up of the post denotes the establishment of authority in the fair for its duration. In effect, fairs temporary towns in which order and law must be maintained. And it goes on to say the character of fairs changed greatly in the 19th and 20th century, but didn't cease, and they became primarily concerned with entertainment and with mechanized rides and sideshows. Although the content of fairs altered slightly, there's layout tradition was maintained, and fair folk custom are little known outside of the close-knit community, but all specialized communities maintain a knowledge of how to accomplish the required tasks. And among the people who staged traveling fairs, this includes methods of laying them out that have proved effective over generations of use. And again, I do think that's kind of interesting because we kind of joke here that the fair comes in a suitcase, you know, the rides come in a suitcase because they seemingly just pack up overnight and are gone, you know, or they've just set up overnight. So yeah, pretty interesting. But yeah, they do seem to have it down to a science, you know. And this next part does remind me of the old geomancers that are kind of recounted in historical feng shui long before these flying stars and all these other concepts were introduced, before the academics of it. They used to just go off of planetary alignment. So they would check the sky and they would find meridian spots based on the stars. And there is an account of a gentleman called the King of Showmen. His name was Pat Collins. And he used to use a technique where he would find the center of these fairs, and he would usually locate the largest attraction on it. But his son carried out this tradition upon his death and actually found a gravesite, and just kind of using his intuition. So let me read this here. It says, an incident that occurred in the West Midlands of England during World War II used the showman's locational technique to determine the site of a grave. Such a rite would have been recognized by the ancient augurs, which were people who divined for water. In 1943, Pat Collins, the King of Showmen, died, and the Sunday Express reported, there was a strange incident at the cemetery when the old man's son came to visit it, accompanied by Father Hanrahan of St. Petersburg Catholic Church, to select a site for the grave. When he came to seek the site for his father's last resting place, he had found that the Catholic portion of the cemetery was full, and the adjoining land that belonged to the cemetery was specifically consecrated. So I'm not sure if all countries do this, but I know in the U.S., I don't think so much anymore, but there's definitely parts in older cemeteries that I've seen, like where my great grandma's buried, that only had like Catholic plots. So I think it had different consecration rites, and you know, for different people of different religions. When Mr. Collins went to select his place for the first grave, he brought his foot forward, raised it, and brought his heel down sharply on the turf, making a deep dent and exclaiming as he go. And exclaiming as he did so, "This is the spot I want, the exact center of my father's grave, to be over that mark," he explained to the priest. My father used those words and that gesture for 60 years every time he inspected a fairgrounds to indicate where the principal attraction should be. Usually the biggest of the merry-go-rounds was to be erected. He never measured the ground, but chose a spot in the exact center of the showground, and it was ritual with him. Mr. Collins used the same means to select a grave on a greenfield site as for the location of the center of a fair. So he's the same method as his father. The rider bringing down the heel to fix a place can be seen in rugby football, where it is called making a mark. In laying out modern traveling fairs, the connection between the center of the showground, where the pole symbolizing the cosmic axis would have stood, and the axial rotation of the merry-go-round appears to be another overtly symbolic survival amongst the showmen. For this, it must be surmised that dancing around the center maypole may have been superseded by mechanical merry-go-rounds, and even if it's not the case, symbolically, it works well. All right, guys. Well, hope you enjoyed today's episode. Don't forget to go to learnfengshui.com for that newsletter. And again, you know, the episodes here, I'm just going to have to see what happens. Like, as you may or may not notice, I'm putting this episode out a little bit late because, man, it's not only been a year. It's been a year already, you know, but this week has been quite chaotic. Lots of personal stuff going on. And on top of that, I have just clients I had to, you know, also take care of. And a family emergency. I really wish I could just dump and tell you guys everything that's going on, but it really has been a time. When I say that I've experienced something you would watch on TV in a true crime documentary, like crazy stuff has been going on this past year for my extended family. And we lost another family member, unfortunately. So it's just been pretty emotional and obviously time consuming. You guys have stuff going on too. And sometimes we have busier years and have to be there for our family a little bit more. So episodes may just be more sporadic this month. And, you know, say a little prayer for my family if you're a praying person. But I'll catch you guys either next week or it might be the week after. So just look for new episodes. They might not even just go up on Fridays. Keeping my head above water. All right. I do have some interesting topics planned. Feng Shui for the garden and Feng Shui for neurodivergent. But the dates might just differ. All right, I'll catch you guys soon.
For a free energy mapping of your floor plan, please check the link in the show notes. To support today's podcast, go to learnfengshui.com, sign up for emails, leave a review, and share with your family and friends.